Samuel cuts it back. Ohio State wins.
Flashes, champions of the Mid-American Conference.
Little trick play and a throw to Baker Mayfield to tie the game.
Buried, grabbed by Leonard. Thrown it first. Unbelievable.
Chubb will take this all the way. 92 yards.
And the Ohio State Buckeyes are the first national champions of the playoff era.
The Indians have won the American League pennant.
It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
I accepted it.
Gladiator. 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 Fit to fight with the gods. I'm the giant slayer. Bone shaker. Dominator. Freight train wrecking ball. I'm the gladiator.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Pass the Mic Sports Talk. It is me and Orlando going solo today, and the reason why, I mean, first of all, foremost, I am watching college football right now. It is back right now. I'm watching Pitt in West Virginia. Pitt is up 24-21 with a minute 30 to go in the third quarter. I've been watching other games, too. Penn State, Purdue, Central Michigan, and Oklahoma State. Not a good look on the MAC. But speaking of the MAC, I don't know if many of you guys saw on social media, but Bet the MAC, a new podcast started by me and a few other guys from Kent State, Gabe Clare and Austin Arnold. They've been on the show many times. They're with it on me. Jack Burney from TV2 and Ryan Stewart, former Black School Radio member of mine too. So yeah, we are all doing this. We are covering the MAC exclusively, mainly football. We'll probably get into basketball later, into men's and women's. We're going to try to see how much of the MAC we can cover and how much can be involved with betting, because, I mean, not every college sport is with betting, but mainly football and basketball is. But with that, folks, we have breaking news coming in from the Cleveland Cavaliers today. The Cavs acquired Utah Jazz Donovan Mitchell in a trade today that included the Cavs sending over Lauri Markkanen, the rookie Ring Ochi from Kansas, and Colin Sexton too, along with three first-round picks in 2025, 2027, and 2029 for Donovan Mitchell. And oh gosh, man. Danny Moneybags, Dan Gilbert, the man who has the money and has the proof to show it, because he's the one owner in Cleveland with a ring, folks. You hear that? And Kobe Altman, too, man, what a freaking genius that is. Pulling off this trade, giving his Raptors best moves the Cavs have done since they drafted LeBron. I'm going to put it up there with that. Or probably one of the best moves in the post LeBron era. I would go with that. The best move in the post LeBron era, other than drafting Garland, getting Jared Allen. Yeah, those were probably the best moves. But this one's probably the best. You're getting a star in this, and looking to the Cavs upcoming season. Last year made the play-in game. This year, this upcoming season, they should be a third, fourth, fifth, maybe be in that 60 in the playing game, but they can compete with the top teams in the East with the Bulls, Celtics, and Bucks. I really think this Cavs team will be very competitive in the Eastern Conference, and it's going to be must-watch basketball at all time. I mean, they already were this past season, and they just need to build something away from LeBron, and that's what they're trying to do right now. Yes, we all love LeBron in Cleveland. He brought us a championship. He did what he had to do, and, you know, last week he decided, you know, stay in L.A. for another 2 years, and then he's also waiting for not just his son Bronny to play in the NBA, but his son Bryce too. So LeBron is going to be, you know, he's going to be pulling a Tom Brady. He's like, we all probably want to call it now. When you're playing in, up until you're close to 50, yeah, it's called Tom Brady, folks. But this is just so exciting for the Cavs. I mean, people are pumped up. I mean, if you want to look at which team in Cleveland is the closest to winning a championship, it's got to be the Cavaliers. I mean, honestly, made the play-in game last year. I mean, they could have beat Atlanta, but they really blew it in the fourth quarter in that game. They're the best. I would honestly say second would have to be the Cleveland Browns. I wouldn't really say this season they would be going far in the playoffs. I mean, they might make the playoffs this year, the Browns, but really unsure with the whole Watson situation now being 11 games. I mean, last time I did a podcast, I had talked about him being 6. Now it's 11. Really won't go too much in depth with that. But I just feel like the Browns' closer, I mean, top defense, pretty solid run game. Just need help with receiver and whenever Watson comes back. That's what I see from the Cleveland Browns. And, oh, don't forget a top O-line, too. So the Browns beat second, last, the Indians, Guardians. They're a young team, but they're playing good, playing great baseball. But I do believe they will make the postseason, the Guards. But they'll probably lose in the first round, and they'll be lucky if they make it to the second. I honestly forget that MLB changed up the playoff format. I am literally confused by it. So someone please help me out who's a baseball expert. My old co-host, Sean, he would know it. He's really in the baseball more than me. But, yeah, I think the Guards can make a good postseason run. I mean, what, they got a month left in the season already. But we'll get in the Guards and the Browns later on. But sticking to the Cavaliers, folks, the Cavaliers. And just really, they pulled it off, really. I mean, Mitchell's going to be a big impact on the team, going to be in the starting lineup. I mean, I still see Kevin Love coming off the bench, too. That's going to work out. I mean, you got Darius Garland, you got Jared Allen, you have Isaac Okoro, who's going to be a very solid player, too. I mean, you got Evan Mobley, you got his brother Mobley, you got Ricky Rubio back. I mean, this is going to be probably one of the better Cavs teams in the post-LeBron era, I'll tell you that. I mean, this team can make a push in the playoffs. They can probably go past the first round, second round. They can get an Eastern Conference Finals. Potentially a Finals, too. Oh, man, making their first Finals without LeBron. That would be a milestone in Cavs history, folks. The first time they make the NBA Finals without having LeBron's help. I mean, man, I love LeBron. I love what he's done as a basketball player and for Cleveland. It's just like when I was doing the show with Matty Hayes, my good friend, last year. Well, we had some great shows, Matty. I had to tell you that. That was probably the best era of Pass the Mic on PSR when it was me and Matty. Things got heated. Things were just good. She's up at ESPN Cleveland now, so check her out. She produces The Next Level with Emmett and Gerard. And she does a weekend show, I believe, too. It's like Sunday brunch. It's on Sundays. I don't think they're doing it anymore once football. Maybe it might be Saturday, but yeah, go check her out. ESPN Cleveland, ESPN 850 if you're in the Cleveland area. Well, yeah, those are some good shows, but just me and her on LeBron would be different. I was like, I like him as a player. It's just LeBron just talks a lot and stuff. And, you know, he's, you know, with politics and everything in the world. And then ever since I watched The Last Dance, I looked at Jordan. And Michael Jordan just sticks to basketball and sticks to business. I never heard Michael Jordan ever talk politics or who he supports or anything. I think he has came out when it came to a couple like the race issues we've been having in this country. But that's pretty much it. And that's just the way Jordan goes. But I still love LeBron stuff. Just, you know, he's a millennial, folks. Remember that. If you're those old school people, he's a millennial. So, you know, they move out a little. Jordan was Gen X, so maybe that could be one reason why there's a big difference when it comes to, you know, speaking out on things. Millennials are more and Gen X not better. Enough of that. Love this Cavs move, but, oh, man, shit, watching this Pitt-West Virginia game, man, West Virginia is going, oh, my gosh, this, what is it now, 24, Bryce Ford, yeah, 24-24 now. Holy crap, in the fourth quarter just started. And that's what I love. College football is back and can't wait for this Saturday, especially the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Kansas State Golden Flashes. I have my whole Flashes preview on Bet the Max, so make sure you guys go subscribe to that. Give them a follow on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram at Bet the Mac. Great show. You'll love it, folks. I mean, you're going to love it. But I'm going to go to Ohio State. I'll briefly talk Kent. And then we'll go into some guards and Browns after that. But looking at Ohio State's schedule, I mean, this first game, the minute you find out Notre Dame, prime time, 7:30, ABC, College Game Day down there, it's going to be electric down in Columbus. I mean, I'm going to be down there being with my boy Tommy. Shout out Tommy Bongos. I got Frank Sweeney. Shout out Sweeney. Michael Wilson, man, my cousin. You'll shout out to Michael Wilson, man. I figure Coastal Legal's going to be down there. So shout out to Big Cole, too. I know he'll be slugging some brews at like 7 a.m. until like midnight. And that's just the way Cole goes. It's going to be a long day, but I'm so pumped for that. I really think Ohio State's really going to be, and they will cover to Ohio State. I will give them that. I don't think this game's going to be a complete blowout like it has been in like the past when the Buckeyes would play like a smaller team. I mean, Notre Dame's still a big school. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's 17. I think that Ohio State will cover that. Moneyline bet doesn't look too bad, too. Minus 800. The Notre Dame's looks better, but I think Ohio State will cover on Saturday against Notre Dame. And but that's the game they really had. And then looking forward to the rest of their schedule for the rest of the season, take on Arkansas State. That's a win. Toledo. Well, I think Toledo can put up a fight against the Buckeyes. Depending on what the spread is, I think they'll cover that. I mean, because Toledo almost beat Notre Dame last year, remember, in week two. That was amazing. I thought Toledo had it. That would have been huge for the Mac if Toledo won, but I still think they're going to beat Toledo. That's just usually an easy one for them against the Mac team. So, Buckeyes will 3-0. Then they got Wisconsin. Ooh. And TV schedule already on that one. That one's going to be on ABC. It's in the Shoe. I think the win, just because it's a home game and stuff, and Ohio State does well at home against Wisconsin. And they got Rutgers. That's a win. Then at Michigan State's going to be a tough one for them, but I think they're going to win that. Playing Iowa home, I think they'll win that one too. And going down to Penn State, Happy Valley, it's going to be a tough one for them. But past couple times, James Franklin's coach against the Buckeyes really hasn't done well against the Buckeyes and Ryan Day in their game plan, but Ohio State's going to win that one. And they got Northwestern. That's going to be a win. Indiana, that's a win. Then Maryland, it's a win. And the very last game of the season, folks, we all know what that is. The game against the team up north, Michigan University, in the pre-ranked poll, they're ranked eighth. That's the game they have marked on their calendar ever since they lost last year. I mean, that's just how it is in Ohio State's program, man. You can say any other rivalry program. I mean, Michigan probably has the same thing, too, with Ohio State, but since it was like a decade-long drought without them beating them. But I really think this game at home at Michigan, I have to go with the Buckeyes in this one. So I 100% believe Ohio State will have an undefeated season. The only game that really questions me is the last game against Michigan. Could put in there Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Penn State too. But they really should be in an undefeated team and be in the college football playoffs. I mean, there's really no excuse for them for missing the playoffs this year. And this is the year. They'll go in the Big Ten championship. They might play Wisconsin again, the Big Ten championship. Maybe Iowa. Who knows? But the game against the team up north, it's at home. It's going to be a close one, but they're going to win. It's going to be like the matchup Ohio State and Michigan had in 2002. And honestly, it's going to be that big. I mean, it's been a while for Buckeyes. I mean, I know when I found out they lost, that day, I was like, wow. I was like a little like shocked, and I'm not like a super diehard Buckeyes fan like a lot of people I know, because first of all, many of them I know went to the university. So they have like that strong passion and stuff for them, which I really, you know, like I got a place for the Buckeyes, but it's not like, oh, the Ohio State's my life. I live, breathe, and die Ohio State Buckeyes, kind of like the majority of Columbus, Ohio. I really don't, but I'm just like, you know, sometimes like when they lose, I'm like, eh, not too bad. Like, I think I called in the Ken Carmen and the Anthony Lyman show one time after they lost the national championship game to Alabama in 2021. I wasn't like disappointed or anything. I know Lyman was because he's an alumni, but Ken went to Kent's rival school, Akron. But we don't have much, you know, really feeling anything. But I know so many people who love the Buckeyes so much, and they don't have like an big association with the school. Like they weren't like alumni or anything, or they weren't from the Columbus area. But I mean, that's your choice. I don't mind it. I like the Buckeyes and stuff, but they're just not the team I'm like willing to like get depressed over or anything. The team I've been getting depressed over for the past, well, I'm 23 years, because they weren't around when I was born, the Cleveland Browns. Is that the only thing I can say? The Cavs and the Indians too. I think the Indians might be worse. I saw them lose the World Series, folks, in front of me. They are probably worse. But I love all three of them. I love them. But yeah. But just looking at the roster, I think C.J. Stroud's going to have a huge year. I mean, you lost Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, but, you know, Ohio State always bringing back, having better players that they recruit. And I really think Jaquan Smith is going to have a breakout year like he did in the Rose Bowl. He was doing good, but he was like third receiver last year. But he's going to have a breakout year. You also got Travion Henderson in the backfield. I think they're set offensively. Defensively, I think the Buffaloes, you saw, it's going to be those Big Ten matchups that are going to be tough. And I would honestly say Notre Dame game two is going to be a big test for the Buckeyes in this one. But expecting them an undefeated season for them, winning the Big Ten conference and going to the college football playoff. No prediction on how they'll do there. We got to wait to see how it sets up. I mean, I could do a whole preview for college football, but the thing is, we know it's always going to be Ohio State, Bama, could be Georgia, could be Michigan State, possibly, you know, Big 12 team like Oklahoma makes it. I mean, they're moving to the SEC soon. The whole college football world is changing really fast. I mean, now, like I did an episode a while back with Hunter Lynn about UCLA and USC joining and how it's going to affect like the smaller schools when it comes to, you know, money and stuff, because those small schools depend on making money from those big ones. Something that a lot of people have really talked about when it comes to this whole college football transition and the super conferences. But enough Buckeyes. We can talk Kent briefly. They play at 10:30 p.m. against Washington. So a very late one. So if you want to stay up late for that, go ahead. But I have them winning the division, the MAC East. I have them winning it. I really think they will. I mean, I know Miami, Michael's alumni. Yeah, folks, it's going to be a tough one. But, I mean, they're playing Kentucky, too. And I'm hearing some speculation about upset. Even have an upset about Kent being Washington, because Washington lost their home opener last year. So that's a possibility, too, that Washington can beat. That Kent can beat Washington. I had it reversed around. I mean, it's past 10 o'clock. I mean, college football's on, so I'm staying up watching it until the game's over. That's what I love about college football. You can watch it all day, but I really think Kent has a good chance of being Washington. I mean, but if you look at the rest of their schedule, you know, Oklahoma next. That's going to be a tough one for them, but that's what happens. He plays Power 5 schools, then Long Island. That's a win. And Georgia, ugh, good luck. That's the defending national champions. The second time they had to play the national champions. In Ohio, I think they'll win that one. Ooh, against Miami. That's a tough one for Kent right there against Miami. It's at Miami, too, this year. Miami's pretty, you know, disappointed from their loss against them last season to go to the MAC championship. That's going to be a good one. I think Toledo. Toledo's going to be a tough one for them. That's two back-to-back tough games. The game against Akron, I believe they'll win that one. The game against Ball State, they'll win that one. And then Bowling Green, I think they should win that. Eastern Michigan, they should win that. Buffalo, I think the same Buffalo team from 2 years ago where they got smoked by them in order for them to make the MAC championship. So it's not, but I believe that they can really put off. I mean, you can only have one loss in the MAC, and all depends on how it all goes. I mean, the MAC's crazy. That's why I just bet the MAC. What the MAC-tion, man. The give me the MAC-tion, folks. Really. But yeah, that's my quick Kent State preview. If you want to hear more of my preview on the Mid-American Conference, check out Bet the MAC. You know, subscribe to them. They're on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Anchor app too. Also follow them on Twitter and Instagram at Bet the MAC, man. So get on Bet the MAC, folks. If you listen to Past the Mic, you better be listening to Bet the MAC too. All right. So, all right, enough college football, but, you know, there's no such thing as enough. You watch college football as much as you want. Sit on your ass all day Saturday and watch college football. That's the perfect Saturday. It's one perfect Saturday if you do that, watching college football all day. Which, I mean, I used to do that as a intern on the Kent State football team doing videos. So, yeah, I pretty much did. Especially if the game was like late. So yeah, you pretty much watch all the games and you watch another game. Yeah. And the thing is about when Kent's taking on these Power 5 schools like Washington, Oklahoma, Georgia. I mean, they're going into this game. I know Oklahoma and Georgia are probably going into this, but they're going into this like, hey, this is an opportunity for us to get better. That's how these group of five programs look at these games. Because, you know, it's slight shot, but you're playing against the best recruits in the country. So that's all I got to say for them. And now, folks, let's go to the Tribe or the Guards, whatever you call the Cleveland baseball team. Oh, man, just, you know, they were on a hot streak for a bit on this, the road trip they had against San Diego. They swept San Diego. They beat the Mariners only once. Well, they had chances to beat them. They really couldn't finish. And then Baltimore comes to town. Home series. You thought, hey, how's it again? They won Tuesday. It was a great win. Great pitching by Quantrill. And then yesterday, you know, Chris McKenzie's on the mound. He has these games. He's pitching good. But if it was one bad pitch, boom, it's a home run. And he can pitch good the rest of the game. But sometimes the offense can't really help out. Tonight, too, another shutout. Back-to-back shutouts against the O's. Ugh. This doesn't have me worried or anything. Just that we got Seattle back again, and I really hope we can sweep them or win 2 out of 3. That's how I'm looking at the end of the schedule. And then you go on an easy road trip against the Royals, and then, oof, got a tough series against Twins. Then the Angels come to town. You should get that. Then following that with a makeup against the White Sox, and the Twins are home again. Oh boy, it's a long series. They got a doubleheader Saturday. They might go to one of those. And then the White Sox and Texas and geez, Tampa and just off of Kansas City. And the race for the AL Central is gonna be tough because they're only. Last time, let's see if it might have changed actually, because I thought last time I checked, the Guards were 1.5 ahead of the Twins. Right now, it's one game, folks. They really gotta do well against Seattle in this upcoming series. So I do believe they can make the playoffs. Won't be a huge, like, you know, like a post. It won't be like 2016, but you never know in baseball. I mean, could be a possibility of them making it to the World Series, but being realistic, it's not, you know, very young team and stuff. You only got, what, Jose Ramirez and, Shane Bieber, probably players the most postseason, and Brian Shaw, postseason experience. Yeah, well, and the postseason experience really does matter when it comes to pretty much any sport, really. But we'll see. That's how I'm looking at the Cleveland Guardians ending off the season. I know my whole thing, me boycotting them, saying I wouldn't spend the money again, but my dumbass ends up at opening day somehow unexpectedly. Oh boy, and you know, it's just one of the, it happens. You know, I'll always get my balls broken by my uncle by that Michael. So that's totally fine. I mean, you know, I've only gone to two games, the opener and the one on my birthday. I haven't gone to Mexico and won this month. It's September 1st. Oh, that's fine. That's fine going to one. Going one more. Yeah. Three. All right. Well, let's get into the Browns, folks. Because, you know, this is Cleveland and football talk runs our city, as you know. And looking ahead, week one against the Panthers and former quarterback Baker Mayfield, with us going with Brissett. There was that fake report that came out that Baker says he wants to fuck us up. And Baker came out saying it was fake. I mean, the media loves playing with Baker for some reason. I don't know why, but it really drives this guy crazy. I bet he really wants to just fight every reporter that just hates on him. We already know we wanted to fight one of them in Cleveland. I don't even name who, but I think we all know who. But just looking at this game, people are saying it's going to be a loss because Baker's going to really throw good. He's looking great in Carolina. He looks like his 2020 self. Me, I think it'll be a coast game. I just think since most of his defense has been around Baker while he's playing the Browns, they'll just really understand them well and be able to get a couple turnovers off them and just, you know, the way he plays, because first team offense always goes up against first team defense. So that's what I'm saying. Really, the Browns have a little bit of the edge in this one, but hey, it'll be a close game. And I believe Baker will keep it classy. I don't know if there will be any blood, but I mean, we'll see on September 11th. That's a very awkward way. It's just because of that date. That's all. It's, and yeah, it's, and the NFL does a good job honoring.
What are you doing, Drunky?
So does the MLB and the rest of the country. Unity, folks. Unity. All right. I guess it's time for everyone's favorite part of the show. Yes. Drunky of the week. My drunky of the week is NFL and Amazon Prime. Yesterday they came out with those. We're going to use special footballs for them. Amazon Prime Thursday night games, and people actually were dumb enough to buy in it that they were going to use special footballs in this Prime game. This was all, as we know, we found out later, this is all a whole marketing scheme. I knew that too, because there's no way the NFL would just change a ball for Thursday night football. There's no way. The football will be the football the way the NFL wants it, and every NFL team's equipment staff has to follow the way the balls are, or you could end up like the Patriots with the flight gate and stuff, but it usually doesn't happen unless you're the Patriots, who were known for cheating, or they haven't. Yeah, Belichick still probably has his ways, but really. This was like a dumb one, and people were like, oh my god, they're changing the footballs for a game they do once a week. I mean, you look at that football, it's like a oval out pancake. That's the best way I can describe it. It looked terrible. Looks like something you buy in like the cheap sporting goods sections at Walmart. I mean, that's how bad. I can't believe you were that dumb. But I got another thing, too, to speak with streaming and sports. It really is making it difficult for people to watch games and stuff. Not everyone has streaming. Still, a lot of people have cable. And also, a lot of people have, you know, not really access to the streaming. I mean, if, look at baseball now. Apple Plus and Peacock just to watch Friday night and Sunday afternoon baseball. Not everyone has those platforms. And me, I don't either. It's a struggle when you watch it. I mean, you listen on the radio and that's it. And now the NFL doing Thursday night with Amazon Prime is really messing a lot of people. And the other thing, too, is people are like, oh, you know, the bar or restaurant will have it on. Well, not every bar and restaurant will. Not all of them have these streaming services and stuff. And I don't know if local TV will be allowed to do it, too. I have no idea how this all works. They think it's winning a game, but really not. And I'm kind of surprised the NFL really went with this. I mean, they probably just wanted to make money off it. I know their contract with Fox for Thursday night was expiring. But I just really don't like streaming in sports. You know, if you're going to lose the bar crowd, that's going to really hurt. And fans will either have to attend the game or listen to it on the radio. This is just a weird way of doing things now in the world with streaming, and you gotta have this and that. I mean, I totally get ESPN Plus doing all the college football games, you know, for a lot of the group of five teams that really don't get the big national TV coverage like the Power Five does. I mean, they get like those couple games a year, and then of course the MAC, they get MACtion, but that's about it. And it's just a whole mess. I mean, I'm okay with ESPN Plus doing games. I'm actually going to subscribe to that too. I have HBO Max, so I'm going to get rid of that. Because I'm pretty much only waiting on Hard Knocks. And I like HBO Max. It's a great streamer. It's just really on your budget. Like, do I really need it? I mean, yeah, there's a whole bunch of shows I want to watch. But maybe someone else in my family can subscribe to it or something. And wow, and if you're watching this, West Virginia's beating Pitt right now, 31-24. You know what? Might as well here. Well, let me look back at what was the other one? I can just look at my phone instead of screwing around with my cable box trying to find scores of games. You know, that's the very old school way of doing things. Let's look at the other scores in college football. Wow, Central Michigan's coming back against Oklahoma State, 58-44, 3:15 to go in the fourth. Ball State getting murdered by Tennessee, 59-10. Any other notable? UCF beating South Carolina State. I think South Carolina State's FCS program. Toledo blown out Long Island. Good for the Rockets. Northern Illinois being Eastern Illinois, 28-13, end of the third. And let's see. I'm just, Jesus, stupid phone. I click on an ad. Shit happens. Akron, folks. The Zips won over St. Francis, a final in overtime. Way to go. Way to go, Akron. Yay. And that might be their only win this season. I mean, congrats to their new coach, Joe Moorhead. Got his first win as a head coach. Congrats to him. There's 10:30 games tonight. Fresno State and Cal Poly and San Jose State and Portland State. So they got the late ones. Yeah, so Toledo blew out Long Island. Arizona and Northern Arizona. It's only 3-0 first quarter. Minnesota killing New Mexico State 24-0 end of the second quarter. Oh, yeah. Missouri being Louisiana Tech 31-10 third quarter with about 8 minutes to go. Where's the Where's the Penn State up 21-17? The third quarter, yeah, that's all the college football scores. So glad it's back. A couple games actually tomorrow, because I know you'll be listening to this tomorrow and not today, because that's when I am recording it. Okay, let's. I know there's a couple big ones on usually. I hate the way ESPN. All right, Friday, yeah. Western Michigan, Michigan State, Eastern Michigan, Eastern Kentucky. Those games are at 7. Old Dominion, Virginia Tech. That'll be a good one. That one's at 7, too. William and Mary in Charlotte. That game's at 7 on ESPN 3. Temple Duke. Temple Elf's program's kind of gone down. Duke's not known for football, I'm known for basketball. Tennessee Tech in Kansas. ESPN Plus, Illinois, Indiana, FS1, and TCU, Colorado. That's some decent games. See Saturday's slate. I know there's a couple of good ones. Cincinnati, Arkansas, 3:30. Ooh, that's going to be a good one. Ohio State, Notre Dame, of course, is. Let's see. Now, you want your MAC games? Buffalo, Maryland. Not bad. Oh, FAU, Ohio. Yeah, FAU's coming to Ohio. Miami, Kentucky. Miami, Ohio against Kentucky. Oh, wait, never mind. Kent State, Washington, folks. 10:30. Oh, Western Kentucky, Hawaii at 11:59. You're just staying up late for that. Too bad that game ain't on TV anywhere. It ain't even on ESPN Plus. They ain't sending out. They don't have a crew out there. I thought there was at least another good one on Saturday. Oh, Oregon, Georgia. Chick-fil-A kickoff game. Georgia's going to cover that one. It's 17. Minus 17. On the spread. Yeah, Labor Day, it's Clemson and Georgia Tech. Now, Clemson got ranked 4 in the AP polls this preseason. Wow. Interesting. I don't know, maybe Dabo got his program back together. We had a down year last year. But yeah. All right. Thanks for listening to this episode of Pass to Mike Sports. Remember to follow us on social media at @pass_the_mike_. And we'll see you all in our next episode. We'll be
in the one days since I've been here. You gotta fight for your right.
Take care.